GM, guys. Yes, Smitten missed the sound check. I always count on Smitten, but today I could not. It's all right. I was still able to sound check, thanks to Mr. Drifter and the Yeti. Anyways, so before we get started with today's AMA, just one thing I wanted to mention. I guess we'll probably talk about it more in the chats later on, but something I've been talking about, or I should say, I've been talking with the Magic Eden team. They reached out to us, and they were interested in having us move our Flare bid that's currently on Tensor over to their platform. And I think for the Flare DAO, our main consideration of where to keep our liquidity is, it's mainly a factor of where can we generate the most yield. So of course, that's what I asked them about. For those who are familiar right now on Tensor, I guess it's not certain whether it will continue, but for a few seasons now, there's been Tensor token rewards for volume as well as bids of liquidity. So we've gotten rewarded for having our bids on Tensor, and that's been great. That worked out really well. At the same time, I mean, Tensor was like the default NFT platform anyways, so it just made sense to put it there regardless. But yeah, now there's also Magic Eden. In terms of volume, I think the two platforms are basically neck and neck. Especially since Magic Eden launched their token. Yeah, and so Magic Eden is also doing incentives. And they said they'd be willing to give us a grant so we can stake these Magic Eden tokens, ME, and do some quests and generate some volume, and that will result in some rewards. It's impossible to know which of Magic Eden or Tensor is going to give us greater rewards, or in Tensor's case, whether there will be continuing rewards or not. But I think, you know, the fact that Magic Eden was willing to reach out to us and is also willing to provide a grant probably indicates that the rewards there are likely to be larger. So, although we haven't discussed this with the community, and I mean, honestly, there's probably like no need to put it to a vote, but I just wanted to check with the community to make sure there's like no strong pushback against this for some reason that I'm not seeing. But yeah, barring that, we'll probably just go ahead and do this. But yeah, we'll leave a time period for a discussion. But yeah, so that's one thing that's been going on. We basically just concluded discussions on that, so just wanted to share it here before we talk about it more in the chats. Yeah, so that's cool. All right. And now, let us move on to the questions. We have a bunch of questions this month. All right, starting from 71115. I can't tell if those are L's or 1's. Anyways, question number one. It seems that Liffinity margins are exposed to increasing risks, more competition, tweaking of parameters for pools longer term. Sandglass product does still not add meaningfully to returns. Therefore, it appears that increasing revenue depends mostly on increased Sol USDC trading volume through Jupiter. Since most holders here have a more long-term perspective, it would be great if you could talk about the broader strategic direction for the team from the perspective of the increased revenue part of increased revenue, decreased supply. Yeah, so, I mean, I think you're not wrong. Increasing revenue primarily does depend on Sol USDC trading volume. That is still our primary source of revenue. And I think you're also right that competition has increased in recent months. I mean, I guess it's all been gradual, but yeah, there's been increasing competition over time. There's like Jupiter Z, there's copycat Oracle based DEXs, there's DFlow. Someone just posted today, I think, that Citadel said they're going to join market making. Which, if they use on-chain order books, then that would be competition with us. So stuff like that. Yeah, so competition is increasing. And yeah, Sandglass revenue is still not really meaningful. Also true. So what are we doing? Because Sol USDC pools still are our main source of revenue, we are still focused on continuing to optimize those. And it really does require ongoing optimization as the market structure continues to change. Market structure as well as the market dynamics, or maybe that's not quite the right word. What I mean is like how bullish or bearish people are in general, and how that affects volumes. The strategy during high volume times is not necessarily the same strategy during low volume times. So yeah, we continue to focus on that. And there are indicators that show that this is worth it. We are still the best performing Oracle based DEX. So I think this is the right approach that we're taking. And also, yeah, Sandglass volume uptake has been relatively slow for Sandglass. I think volume for yield trading is highly dependent on one, the volatility of the yield, but two, points are just huge, and there's just no getting around it. The thing about points is you can only trade them on yield trading protocols. It's it's almost as if like that's the main use case right now, just because there's not much demand to trade yield. Naturally, people in crypto, they like volatility. They like things that move up and down a lot. I think that's not controversial, given how we've seen how people like to participate in meme coins despite getting wrecked over and over. So with the yield, most of it is not very volatile. A lot of it is even less volatile than Bitcoin. So yeah, we've learned that there's just not much demand to trade low volatility stuff, even if the concentration is high. But yeah, points are huge. just because one, like people their opinions are usually like very clear. Like either they don't care about points or they don't care to keep their points, or they really like the protocol and they want to get more points. Not many people are like, I want exactly the amount of yield I'm getting plus exactly the amount of points I'm getting. Usually they prefer one or the other, and yield trading protocols allow them to trade one into the other. Anyways, I'm kind of babbling, but all that to say, it's very dependent on there being points. The assets with points easily get the most volume. And so, yeah, that's probably will we will try to focus in the future. And I think like how many assets there are with points is in turn dependent on how bullish people are in general. When you're in a bull market, projects are more willing to launch points because they know people will be more interested. People will be more open to trying new things. And so that will kind of trickle down to us. Right now, we're in a, like, we may be still within the larger bull market, but on a short-term time frame, things have been relatively bearish within the past month at least. So yeah, things have been slow in terms of like assets with points. And there's also like quite a few competitors for yield trading. And some assets, when we've reached out to projects, if they've already had a partnership with one yield trading protocol, they, in some cases, say that they're not interested in partnering with us because they already have a yield trading partnership. So I think being first is also probably an important thing. So yeah, those are some of the things we're thinking about in terms of Sandglass. And yeah, then there's Eclipse, which has both Lifinity and Sandglass, and the volumes on Lifinity on Eclipse have been picking up a fair amount, which is nice to see. There's probably yeah, more people running arbitrage bots as well, which helps a lot for us in particular. There's also one or two aggregators that are finally coming out, which will be great. I think without an aggregator, people will just default to Orca mostly and just trade there. But once there's an aggregator, it'll be like how it is on Solana. People just default to Jupiter, and then we're included in the route. So that'll be good. Yeah, so those are some of the things we're thinking about. Hope that sufficiently answered your question. Let me take a sip real quick. All right, number two. Possibly related, what are the team's thoughts with regards to all these newly launching chains? That is, Bera, Sonic, Monad, Mega ETH, Athena, etc. Many of which are EVM based. Jupiter seems to aim for a cross-chain strategy. What about Lifinity? Previously, you said that focus is on Solana since there is the most developer activity, and obviously, Pith integration and sufficiently fast chain are required for Lifinity's market-making approach to work. Has this changed in the meantime? Are you thinking differently? Let's see. So with regards to our market-making approach, it hasn't changed that we still require a fast chain. What has changed somewhat is that EVM land, they're definitely more focused on like they've seen the light of Solana and are moving to copy its essential aspects, which are speed and cheapness. So in that sense, like the places where Lfinity is viable have increased. So yeah, we're not, that's not out of sight, certainly. If we do build elsewhere, though, I mean, just keep in mind that similar to Eclipse, we're not going to announce anything until like it's 100% confirmed and probably also like ready to go. So, it's not going to be like, hey, we decided that we're gonna launch on X. So, we've started building now, and hopefully it'll be done in a few months or whatever. Like, it's not going to be like that. So, yeah, just keep that in mind. And also, that's not a confirmation or disconfirmation of what we are or are not doing. But, yeah, so I mean, it is certainly possible. Like, not all of them, Lfinity isn't possible on all of them, probably, but there are certainly chains where it is possible. Yeah, and like, you know, it's slow on Eclipse, but it's, you know, it's been working out. So, that's good to see. And for that reason, you know, it would probably also make sense to launch on other chains if that's the highest expected value action that we can be taking. So, yeah, it is in our mind, suffice it to say. Yeah, okay. Next question. Number three. There are efforts from multiple teams to bring stocks on chain. Is this an area you guys are exploring? Not really. If stocks do begin trading on chain, then we're not going to be like the first place to begin making that happen. You know, to me, it's totally, I can totally imagine a scenario where stocks do come on chain, but for the first, I don't know, few months, maybe many months, it's just not popular at all. Like, because the people who are in crypto, they're typically here for the crypto, right? Like a lot of crypto people are just crypto maxis, sort of. Like, they're not involved in the TradFi world at all, and I would count myself as one of those people, actually. There are definitely people with crossover, and those people are probably mainly people who like worked in TradFi and then found crypto and like were like, oh, this makes a lot more sense, but but didn't necessarily take everything out of TradFi and remained diversified or whatever. But like, those people are relatively few, I think. And even for those people, so those, you know, those kinds of people are the main ones who, you know, it would kind of make sense because they sit at the cross section of those two worlds. But like, the liquidity on chain is going to be abysmal, right? To start. Like, it's not going to be good. It's definitely going to be better in TradFi. So even when it does come on chain, even if it's like better in some respects, if ultimately it costs more to buy on chain, buy or sell on chain, then like, why would they? Is kind of what I'm wondering. I think at some point, you know, because blockchains are more efficient than TradFi ultimately, so the fees are less, right? And so if the liquidity is equal, then you'd much rather trade on a blockchain because there's going to be less fees, all else being equal. So I think that day will eventually come, but that day is not going to be the day that stocks launch on chain. It's going to take some time, for sure. I mean, you can probably like see that with like some things are on chain, like gold. I'm pretty sure there's some forms of gold on chain. And honestly, like, I don't even know. I don't look at this, but I would be surprised if there's like a lot of gold volume on chain. I assume most of it is still in TradFi. So yeah. Once volumes do pick up, then it'll make sense for us to start considering market making. So yeah. I mean, you know, similar to like any other asset, that's kind of our approach, right? So that's how we'll be approaching it. All right, number four. Is the team outside you also still mostly allocated in Lifinity? Essentially, everybody's still incentivized to push the project forward. So, like, I don't ask our other teammates what they do at their Lifinity. Nor do I do, like, on-chain sleuthing. But as far as I know, I think if the team was dumping like most of their liquidity, you would see it in the chart. So I'm pretty sure that everyone is just locking most of their liquidity. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure everyone is still incentivized to push the project forward. Yeah. But if you're concerned, you can always look on chain because, you know, the team's vesting allocation is public. You can see the movements on chain. You can see what the people do with it. So if you want to check, it's always there on chain to check. All right, Jules 55. What's happening with the market making profit? Are they distributed, converted in USDC in the book, in Sol, half USDC? So market making profit, we don't withdraw from the pools. They just stay within the pools. Actually, the trading fees, we also don't withdraw, really. They just accrue in a separate account. And so we just take them out of that separate account. So yeah, because they're not taken out, they're not distributed, they just stay in the pool and compound on themselves and increase the book value. And yeah, trading fees are distributed. All right. 7115. According to the balance sheet, we got significant holdings in Sol. The book value took some heavy hits last bear market. Is it possible to keep assets outside of the pools in stables only? Seems like risk exposure outside of the core business. Yes, it is risk exposure outside of the core business. That I will not disagree with. Although you could say that keeping assets in stables is also a risk. I don't know, to me it's all relative. Like, if you denominate in dollars, then yeah, anything that's not dollars has a risk. If you denominate in Bitcoin, anything that's not Bitcoin as risk, including US dollars. So yeah, I don't know, it's kind of like arbitrary to me, but I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, like, Sol is more volatile, so you don't want it to go down. So, like, how I think about this is, well, one, I think the reason you're saying this is because Seoul went down a lot recently. And so the thought is, like, wouldn't it have been nice to have all that Seoul in USDC while it went down? But I mean, we've held Seoul since, $8. I mean, obviously before that too. I think when we first bought Seoul after the VE IDO, Seoul was around $100 or something. So, I mean, and then yeah, never mind. Yeah, so like if you think about it from that standpoint, like we're still up and we're better off by having held Seoul. Like if the ultimate goal is to reduce volatility, then yeah, everything that's not being used for market making, you can just convert it to USDC, I guess. The way I think about it, like, we don't really have an opinion on asset prices. So we don't try to, like, create a portfolio of any kind. We buy assets for market making, and then sometimes we reduce the assets in our pools. And so, for example, that would mean we withdraw some SOL and USDC from a SOL USDC pool, for example. And that'll just stay in our wallet. We won't convert it back to USDC. Not because we think SOL is going up. We just don't have an opinion on whether it's going up or down. And trading incurs trading fees. So we kind of end up with whatever we end up with. It's kind of the way we're handling it. I think the one exception is if we think the market is getting especially frothy, then we'll consider selling volatile assets for USDC. Volatile assets that are not being used, that is. We wouldn't like sell the SOL in our SOL USDC pools, for example. And I don't know, maybe some of you thought it was like after the Trump coin it was at the top. And we should have known. To me, it was not obvious at all. I mean, this was certainly within the realm of possibility, but continuing to go up was also certainly a possibility. Yeah, so yeah, that's how we're thinking about it. But I guess like if somebody doesn't like that policy, then they can still enjoy Lifinity by like just selling when they think everything's gonna go down. Like if you feel like you know better than this portfolio of just holding a bunch of assets, then yeah, you can just sell when you know that like this is like prices are too high, and then there you go. That's your solution. Like if you can time the market, then just time the market. But yeah, for us, like we don't really think we can do it. And maybe we can do it like somewhat well if things are exceptionally frothy. Is yeah, kind of how we're thinking about it. Okay. Jules 55 says, I think having a zero exposure in Seoul is very expensive, but I am happy to hear about how the exposure of Seoul is managed. Yeah, I mean, I think it's valid to think that, you know, not having exposure to Seoul is also a risk. Like, risk to the downside is real, and risk of missing out on the upside is also real. So, yeah, it's not a simple problem. All right. Next we have White Turtle Bill. GM Durden, might not catch this live, but hope you're enjoying life. Number one, can you shed some more light on the revenue numbers for both Eclipse and for Sandglass? Any other details you think we should know about these areas? I mean, I think we've mentioned the relevant data. So I think someone asked in the chat, so some people may have missed this, but someone asked how much of our revenue this previous month was from Eclipse. And it was about 18K. So that's like about, these days anyways, like one day's worth of revenue on Liquidity on Solana. So I don't know, like 1/30th of Solana's revenue. That's very approximate. It's probably actually even less than that, because 18K is like the lower end for daily revenue on Solana. So we'll just say, like, I don't know, 1/50th. So it's not nothing, but still relatively small. And then Sandglass, I mean, it's not even in that ballpark. I mean, we still haven't measured it. Just because looking at the volumes, we know it's still quite low. So, yeah, Sandglass is still small. Oh yeah, and that's like fee revenue, so Eclipse also has market making profit, and that's staying in the pools, but yeah, it'll contribute to book value. All right, number two, are you able to provide any figures or estimates as to how much funding the team has for future runway and or product development? Yeah, we still have over 2 years of runway. And I think, you know, someone asked me this before, like maybe they asked us like a year ago or something. And I think that's probably what we said then as well. So the 10% of revenue that goes to funding ongoing development is looking just about right to keep things sustainable. And also just a reminder to the community that if we were to ever shut down, these team funds would be included in redemptions, so, and it's not included in the book value that we publish, so it would be a bit higher. But yeah, we're doing fine on the funding front. All right, number three, piggybacking off the question above, RWA seems to be growing in popularity. Will this be an area you expect Sandglass to gain traction in the future? Let's see. I think my thoughts on that are, oh wait, sorry, I was thinking of something else. I was thinking for Liquidity, but you meant Sandglass. Let's see. Like, I guess I'm curious to know, like, which types of assets you had in mind. Like the yield of which assets? Like, treasuries or Bonds, or are those the kinds of things you're thinking of? I think those will have, like, my opinion that on that is going to be relatively similar to how I talked about stocks before. White Turtle Bill says, I don't have any specifics in mind for assets. if you want to get a lot of TVL, then I guess, yeah, like treasuries or bonds. I mean, those have massive amounts in TradFi, so like TVL wise, it makes sense. And in TradFi, there are giant markets for trading the yield, even though I don't think they talk about it the way crypto does. And like, full disclosure, I'm not like super familiar with this world, or the lingo, but I do know it's huge. But yeah, the yields are not large. But because the TVL is so large, like if you trade a ton of assets and the yield moves 0.1%, that can be like worth millions of dollars, I think. So like in that sense it can make sense, but that like the thing is, like, usually the way things on blockchain gain adoption is first they're adopted by retail, and that necessarily means that they're going to start small scale in terms of trading size. And if you're trading in small size, then people tend to not care about small moves like 0.1% in yield, like as we're seeing with like staked Sol, which the yield changes like quite slowly, and people are just not that interested in trading that. Like, people want to degen and they want to see 100% gains in a day. So like the path to that, it's like this also I think will eventually happen, like trading all these RWA assets on chain. Like, it makes so much sense for the same reasons as stocks. You know, it's just more efficient, it's cheaper. But the path to get there is not obvious. Like, it will happen, you know, one way or another, but it's like it'll be very gradual, I feel like. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess the thing is, if you want to use RWA assets on SandGlass, first you need protocols that issue RWAs. And I don't know. I don't think there are that many on Solana yet. I think there's like maybe there's some tokenized treasuries. But yeah, the yield is like not that volatile. And there's no points. That's a big thing. If only the government would give us points. Trump points. White Turtle Bill says, that makes sense. So probably something that is inevitable, but takes quite a bit of time to get the institutional adoption that make it large enough to be successful. And oh yeah, so we'll see. I mean, like, institutions are starting to warm up to crypto. Like, they're using it a lot for payments now, which is awesome. Such a no-brainer. There's a lot of news, like you just hear a bunch of TradFi entering things news, that's not really coming to mind. Specific examples aren't coming to mind right now, but I think you all know what I'm talking about. There's been a trickle of like that kind of news these days. So, yeah, slowly but surely. Oh yeah, and regarding the thing I was saying at the beginning of the AMA, our partnership with Magic Eden, our pending partnership with Magic Eden, shout outs to Deenomics, one of our community members, for the introduction for that. Appreciate it. Like Jay Gills is typing a question. Scammer in the chat. Even during our calls, not leave us alone. All right, Jay Gills writes, "Hi, I am just saying, as always, I appreciate these AMAs. Keep up the good stuff, and happy to see the success. Here's a question mark, so it's in the channel." The empty question. It's like a Zen koan or something. Like Turtle Bill says, I'm going to have to rerun this after you post the recording. I missed the first couple minutes. Yeah. Basically, Magic Eden wants us to move our bid to them and are willing to incentivize us to do that. And yeah, like I said at the beginning, we'll talk about it in the chats to make sure everyone's okay with it before moving forward. Yeah, for the most part, I think it's pretty straightforward. Yeah, I was surprised, like I'm not sure how they noticed us. But yeah. They noticed the bid. Can't ignore the bid. Massive bid. The largest bid in all of NFTs. Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised. At least on Solana. People want our bid on their platform. They're bidding for our bid. It's so meta. And flares are like what? 10.5 soul or something right now. 135 listed. Up only for a few weeks now. That's been fun. We're at the fourth place on the NFT rankings, so I think that's the highest we've ever been. Far as I can remember. Next is SMB. I think we passed them around 13 soul, something like that. Maybe 14. In market cap, that is. White Turtle Bill says, can you share your thoughts on the FDC and how it has operated since inception? Anything you think we could be doing to make things better for holders? Any ideas you think are interesting for us to pursue? Regarding the use of the monthly revenue, it seems like the votes each month are pretty repetitive. It usually ends up being the same thing. And maybe that's just because there's not many opportunities. Especially when everything is so meme coin focused. And meme coins, obviously, you have to be hella fast to have any chance at being profitable. So, it's not viable for FDC to be pursuing stuff like that. And maybe that's why, we've just defaulted to reinvesting in VE Lifinity or just sending it for more Flare buybacks. I don't know, maybe there should be a default option. I'm not sure how exactly that would work, but it's for example, I just randomly made this up, but if no one suggests any alternative by the first of the next month, so that gives a little bit less than a week from the time that revenue is distributed. We can make it exactly 7 days from when revenue is distributed. If no one suggests anything new, then the funds will be used for X. That could streamline things for people. I mean, I don't know. It's not a big deal, but I see the same discussion kind of taking place. So that'd make things a bit easier for people, maybe. As for ideas to pursue, I mean, I think there are a lot of options where you can earn yield. And try to farm things. I haven't looked super deep into it, but one that comes to mind is what was it? I think it's called Neutral. And it has a bunch of Delta Neutral strategies. And wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they have points, but I would guess that they'd eventually launch a token and reward their early users somehow. I mean, yeah, that's just a random example, but there are things like that. The question is always is that better than reinvesting in VE Lifinity or giving more funds for the buybacks? And yeah, that determining which is better, I think it's subjective. It's hard to be fully objective about those things because there's so many unknown variables, so you can't calculate which is better, really. So yeah, it's kind of hard. But I mean, yeah, I think there are options out there. Like people have mentioned some before. And like inevitably when you do mention other options, like there are people who are like buyback maxis and they just want to use all the funds for that. And they'll usually speak up. So yeah, getting doing things outside of Affinity can be you have to get over some barriers for sure. But I mean, like as a whole, I think FTC has been working well. It was definitely like rougher around the edges at the beginning. Things have become more smooth. Yeah, and like Swans says, thanks, White Turtle Bill, for all your hard work. Yeah, I mean, you've led like the whole initiative and are always taking care of like all the communications and stuff. So yeah, appreciate everything you do. I think you're doing a good job. And I forgot, like maybe did we reduce the signature threshold on the FTC? I know that was a pain point at one time. It was hard to get everyone to sign stuff just because we needed so many people to sign things. Like the FTC multisig is like one of the most secure multisigs in crypto. If we're just thinking in terms of like the number of signers needed. Like at least at the beginning I think you needed like 10 signers, right? Okay, it's still at 10. And White Turtle Bill says he'll be working over the next few months to try and either get some more active members on board or try reducing our headcount and threshold. Yeah, I mean, like it's very secure, but it's also the trade-off is like it's kind of cumbersome to sign stuff. Swans, is three enough? I don't think so. I think three is pushing it. That means you only need three people to collude to steal everything. While unlikely, still, like three is uncomfortably low for, in my opinion. The people on the multisig I handpicked, if people remember, I made sure they're all like people who have been here for a decently long time and who have been active in the chats. So like you know, that already makes it much less likely that people would collude. And like colluding is not easy, I think. Like imagine if you're a guy who wants to steal all the Flare DAO's funds. Then to do that, you need to convince, like, if the threshold is three, you need to convince two other people. But so you need to reach out to at least minimum two people. So say you choose the two people who you think are the most likely to like join your venture. But if you mess up with even one of them, like if you choose wrong, like they're gonna tell everyone else, like, yo, I got this message from so and so. They're trying to steal everything. And then you're ruined, right? So, yeah, it's not easy, but three is like, yeah, it's getting to scary levels. Especially since, like, we're basically all Anons here, right? Like, if people knew each other, you could feel more comfortable that like they're less likely to cross you. But yeah. And the other thing is, like, people only have their reputation on the line. Like, there's no slashing mechanism. We can't punish people for trying to collude. So, people can try relatively risk-free. Like, we'll probably kick them out of the Discord. But then they can just even make a new account if they wanted, and we'll never know. So, the only thing that's tarnished is their reputation. That's tied to their identity, but yeah, they can just start over. So yeah. Flair's friend says from 10 to 6 or 7. Like, yeah, I think that sounds reasonable to me. Or White Turtle Bill says 7 or 8. Like, 8? Colluding, finding 7 others besides yourselves to collude with? Seems quite difficult. I think that'll be too hard. Like, colluding with, just for number's sake, colluding with 6 people versus 3 people is not twice as hard. I think it's like 10 times as hard. Yeah. It's not a linear scale. The difficulty is not a linear scale. So even an increase of 1 makes a huge difference, I think. Anyways, I guess the exact details of that kind of thing is a discussion to be had in the chats involving the whole community, but White Turtle Bill says, what are your thoughts on the flare supply being highly concentrated between relatively few wallets? Do you think it would be beneficial for the long-term success of the DAO to try and work with people like NB to facilitate direct buybacks from individual members if they plan on selling? I would love to increase the size of the eternal bid as floor price moves up, but it's hard to justify leaving so much soul in bids when it misses out on any yield that could be generated elsewhere. Yeah, I agree that yeah, you don't want to have like too much soul in the bids. It's so retardio that they still don't support staked soul for NFTs. Like, I hate it so much. With regards to the highly concentrated supply, Duran said retardio at work. I need a new job. I mean, it's a fact. What can I say? Yeah, so I think the main consideration is Norbert, right? I mean, there's a few other large wallets, but yeah, Norbert's the main one, and it's over 1,000. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think, because sometimes it does cause FUD, and actually, it even caused FUD for our VEIDO, if you remember. We're a wash trading scam, guys. Damn, that was hilarious. That's so stupid, but also like in retrospect, so hilarious. But yeah, like it does cause FUD. Like I think that is a fact, and like it does push some people away. Because they're like, yo, who the fuck is this whale? I'm not gonna buy this project. You're just gonna dump on me. All else being equal, you know, I think it's better to have 10,000 people holding one NFT than 100 people holding 100 NFTs each. That said, in my opinion, I don't think it would really do any good to like try to buy a ton from Norbert directly unless he wants to sell at book value, which I think he's expressed in the past that he's not willing to do that. Like, I don't see any reason why we should buy a shit ton from him at market price. It's like a privileged exit. Like, if we're gonna do that, we would need to offer it to everyone. And you know, part of the reason I say that is because, like, it'll take a very long time to make a dent in Norbert's supply. Especially if we're buying above book value. And so, like, I'm not sure I see the point. White Turtle Bill says, apologies, I have to go get my baby up and get ready for work. We'll listen back over the weekend and add anything I think of in the chats. Appreciate all of your comments and insight. Thank you. Yeah, thank you too. Have a good day. And don't forget to say retardio at work. Yeah, so White Turtle Girl says, I got scolded 3 weeks ago for saying it. Okay, now your comment makes more sense. You just gotta hide it. Like the great Mertimus Maximus said, retardio. And then you haven't said it. Yeah, so I don't think we should do the buybacks directly from individuals. Because like if we're gonna do it for everyone, then you know that's exactly what the NFT market is, right? It's like anyone wants to sell, they just list their NFT. So, and the market is way better because then it creates a competitive dynamic. If you want your NFT bought, you have to list it lower, which is good for us because then we buy at a lower price. Whereas like if we say we're gonna buy back at this price, then you know, there's no competition, there's no incentive to lower your selling price. And then increasing the bid. Yeah, I just don't know what to do there because it's just dumb that we can't stake our soul that's sitting in the bid. But I mean, like, I think the balance right now, it's not horrible or anything. Like 1,000 soul and then the rest for buybacks. Like it's not as if like the buyback side is like overflowing and it's being overdone. And like that's the reason why we wish we could put more in the bid. At least I don't see it that way. Like, the balance seems relatively fine to me, so. Yeah. So, in summary, I think there is an unfortunate aspect to there being some holders with a huge portion of the supply. As some people will see that as a reason to be afraid. As irrational as that is, since our project has like existed for, what is it now? Yeah, 3 years? 3+ years. And yeah, okay, so there's a guy who held 10% of the supply for like 3 years, sold a few, held most. Like, is that bearish? Doesn't seem like it. And I mean, just look at the price. Like, if you look at any NFT that's been alive for 3 years, like, you're going to be hard pressed to find anything that's performed better than Flares. There's probably a few, but like we're fucking top tier. So yeah, so I mean, yeah, there's always going to be irrational FUD, so it's unfortunate, but I think, it's just the way it is, so whatever. And yeah, the market will work itself out over time. I think it's fine. I don't think anything needs to be done about it, basically. Right, any more questions, guys? All right, I think I'm gonna call it there. Thanks everyone for lots of great questions again and for showing up to the AMA. Sol price is down, but Lifinity price not as much. And Flare price is up, baby. But yeah. I for one certainly still have faith in crypto as a whole, certainly, and more specifically Solana. Like, technically it's like everything is looking amazing. So I still expect a great year, to be honest. And yeah, even more specifically for Lifinity as well. So yeah, have a good day, everyone. I'll see you around in the chats. Peace out.